From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this local news update. Jennifer Canfield is in Fairbanks this week covering the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention. She spoke with me by phone earlier today about some pre-convention political endorsements and how the convention opening on Thursday will address a shadow cast over last year's convention. The AFN convention runs Wednesday to Saturday, but the organization's already made a big announcement, right?
They just announced that they are endorsing Hillary Clinton for president. The AFN endorsement is really interesting.
Are big political endorsements like this something AFN typically engages in?
No, they're not. This is the first time that the organization has endorsed a candidate for president in its 50 years. This is the 50th year of the convention. In 2014, however, they did buck tradition and they endorsed Senator Begich against Sullivan, who ultimately won, and they also endorsed the unity ticket, Governor Bill Walker and Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott against incumbent Sean Parnell. So the endorsements that have come in the last few years are really interesting because the AFN has made a point throughout its history to be impartial, to not make endorsements. And it might be a sign that the AFN is trying to be more politically assertive. We'll just have to see in the next election year how this plays out.
And there was a little bit of endorsement news from the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska as well, right?
Yeah, they endorsed Senator Lisa Murkowski. She's running against three other candidates. And I spoke with Rayanne Holmes at the Central Council. She's their spokesperson. And she said that they don't typically make endorsements just like the AFN. But just like the AFN, in 2014, they endorsed Begich for Senate. So, again, this is unusual for both organizations. However, this could, you know, be the start of a new trend.
So Thursday, the AFN convention begins. Is there anything new with the first day?
There is, actually. All of the typical stuff is there. The AFN president's report, the governor will address the delegation, as will keynote speakers and Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott. All the same stuff is typically there, except for very first thing, early at 7:45 in the morning, there's going to be an opening healing ceremony, and it's going to be held by the Alaska Suicide Prevention Council. And this is obviously in response to what happened on the last day of last year's convention at the Dena'ina Center in Anchorage when a man jumped off the second floor. Hundreds of people were there to see it. It was a very traumatic experience for many. And this is the way the AFN is trying to remember that, address it, and kind of not ignore it.
Interesting. Okay, thanks for checking in, Jenny.
Thanks.
That was Jennifer Canfield reporting from Fairbanks, speaking with me earlier today. You can follow live video coverage this week at 360north.org and 360 North Television. Days after a Superior Court judge ordered the release of a body cam video, the Kodiak Police Department suspended its body-worn camera program, which began in February 2015. Kodiak Police announced the suspension this summer. At a Kodiak City Council meeting in August, Police Chief Rhonda Wallace outlined some reasons for the decision, including issues with how the technology functions and concern for the privacy of the people caught on camera. In an interview Monday, Wallace said KPD will soon reinstate body cams, this time using the Axon body from Taser International. Wall said this camera model provides an option to blur faces and solves the problem of videos revealing the identities of those on camera.
It's private confidential information. So what the solution is to that in selecting the Taser product is that it gives us the software in there to be able to redact, blur that information so that private confidential information does not get pushed out when we have to release a video or when it's requested.
Wallace also spoke to the usefulness of the body cams in her role as chief and said it's a useful tool for her to assess officers' strengths and weaknesses. KPD has had police car-mounted cameras for years, and Wallace said body cameras will support accountability for both officers and civilians. A court case that pits farmers' rights against neighbors' rights has wafted its way up to the Alaska Supreme Court. Justices heard arguments this morning in a case between Robert Riddle, who hauls septic tank waste that he stores and uses on Fairbanks area farmland he owns, and Eric Lancer, a neighboring landowner and home builder. This is the first to test Alaska's Right to Farm Act. While it sounds like a classic nuisance case, it's atypical because Robert Riddle's defense invokes a 1986 law known as Alaska's Right to Farm Act. The law gives existing farmers that meet certain conditions immunity to private nuisance complaints like the smell of sewage sludge drifting across property lines. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Jeremy Shea.